Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's a real privilege that you have the time to join us as we resume and we're continuing the series on Mark's Gospel, which Mark started a few weeks ago, and we're continuing right throughout this current year. Just a few announcements. They're nearly all on the website, all the notices that we have. The thing just to highlight, the barbecue on August the 9th, if you can book in advance, that would really help with the catering. And also just to continue to pray, if you would, for Mark and Karen. They're taking a well-earned sabbatical, just seeking the vision of God for the fellowship and for the work of God in this place going forward. So if you could continue to pray, that would be much appreciated. Let's just pray, and then we're going to start to look at a different aspect of Mark's Gospel together this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you with grateful thanks for who you are. You are King of Kings. We can look around and see confusion. We can look around and see conflict. And yet, in spite of all that, we recognize your lordship and your sovereignty over our lives and over this world. And so often we just pray for your intervention, for your mercy to take place in those areas of conflict. And as we share together this morning, we just pray that you will illuminate your word, bring freshness and a newness as we seek to understand the truth of your gospel this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you could look at this, please, to start with. Something I came across a few days ago, courtesy of our financial controller. Just have a look at this and see what you think about it. And I wonder how you felt reading that. What looked totally incomprehensible to start with, suddenly clarity started to form, and my guess is by the end of it, you were feeling quite satisfied and saying, I can do this, I can understand this, this is new. Society is always influenced by those who influence and change the rules. We were strapped with rules at school about spelling, about grammar, about diction and everything else. And just looking at that challenges where our backgrounds came from. Look at this slide. And this says actually every aspect of this particular slide indicates people who challenge or situations that challenge the rules. They reinterpreted the rules and as a result of this changed society. We have the immense privilege of 6 grandchildren. And they're very different. Of course, all children are different. All adults are different. But 2 of them are very much, they are very happy with the rules. 2 of them are quite happy with the boundaries that the rules generate. 2 of them are a bit more begrudging acceptance. They'll live with them, but they're not really comfortable. And 2 of them have got a slightly different, rather cavalier approach. And their approach is quite simply, what rules? And at the time of Jesus, that's exactly how the Israelite nation saw the Sabbath. It was confusing, it was full of rules, and there were so many instructions and so many details about how they could do things and how they couldn't do things that the whole thing was lost in obfuscation. And Jesus came to break into that. Last weekend, we were very privileged to stay in a Christian guest house, which was about 17 kilometres from Zurich, a place called Menedorf. And this, you'll see on the slide that it was founded by a lady called Dorothea Trudel. And Dorothea Trudel lived in round about the 1830 to 1870. And one day she was working in a silk mill. It was a family business. She worked in this silk mill as a weaver or as a trainee there. And while she was working there, 4 men who were also in the factory fell mysteriously ill. And Dorothea Trudel decided to pray for them. That was totally outside the rules. She was brought up in a Lutheran church. Lutheran church, the men led everything. They led the ministry, they led the teaching, they led the organisation, they led the wealth, they led everything. And so she was stepping right out of the rules when she went to pray for these 4 men. Within 3 days, those 4 men were miraculously healed and back at work. word spread very quickly, and suddenly sick people began to congregate into Menedorf so that Dorothea Trudel could pray for them and see a healing ministry develop. Over the next 15, 20 years, so many people were healed that the hospitals were sending coachloads of sick people into Menedorf so that she could pray for them. And through that whole ministry, a whole complex was expanded and created and developed so that they could house so many sick people. We have the privilege of staying there. She broke the rules, or she reinterpreted the rules of James 5, call for the elders of the church. She wasn't an elder, she wasn't had any standing in the church, but she came and exercised the faith of God as she saw people healed and transformed through that ministry of prayer. Dorothea Trudel. Let's read from Mark 2. Two readings that we're looking at this morning. And the first one, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Lord is, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" He was cutting right across some of the inherent standards and rules of behaviour and conduct that were prevalent in the nation at that time. And then let's look at Mark chapter 3. "Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to the man with a shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.'" I wonder if you can imagine how that man felt. He was used to be disregarded and ignored. He was imperfect. He was bypassed, ignored, the poor relation. He was always the last to be picked on any team. And he's standing there in the middle of the synagogue congregation, wondering what's about to happen. Then Jesus asked the group, "What's lawful on the Sabbath? Is it to do good or to do evil? To save life or kill?" But they remained silent. And he looked around them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn heart, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Why? They were losing control of the Sabbath. And we're looking this morning about what is the Sabbath. This upstart from Nazareth, this carpenter, was challenging their rules, their regulations. He was healing on the Sabbath, unforgivable. He was threshing corn, the heads of corn, as they went through the fields, totally unforgivable. And what's our world well circumscribed with rules coming to? It's coming to an end. This man spoke and acted differently. He cut right through the verbiage. And in his own words in Matthew 5, he said this, "I've not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them." His ministry was to reinterpret or re-establish the principles that were behind the Sabbath so that they could enjoy it rather than be fearful of it. It was a new perspective. Look, let me just show you this. Here's three shots of the Broadway Tower. You look at the first one, it's a little pimple on the top of a hill. And then you get a bit closer. As you're walking up Fish Hill to get there, or to the tower to get there, it gets a bit more defined. And you get there at the top, and it's really closely defined. The closer we get to the ministry of Jesus, the more well-defined we will see the purposes of God in our life and in our ministry. I guess most of you will have taken a lens at some stage and, with bits of paper or bits of shavings, concentrated the rays of the sun until it starts to smoke and it starts to fire, and you suddenly you can ignite something purely by concentrating the rays of the sun. And in many respects, that's where we are as a church. The more we focus on the presence and the anointing of God, the more we allow the illumination of the Spirit of God to flow to be converged or to be focused on our activities together, the more we will see the fire of God at work. And the man who with a shriveled hand was used to being hurt. And some of us will have been hurt by church or church experience over the years. Church has a terrible ability to sometimes hurt people by the rules, written rules or unwritten rules, that are prevalent with that particular church. Often, when God's moving, the unconventional is under challenge. Some friends of ours went to move to King's Heath, which is, if you don't know Birmingham, it's a sub-area of Birmingham. It's a fairly run-down area, lots of ethnic mixture there. And it, right in the middle of King's Heath, is a church that's doing a vibrant work for God. Drug addicts, smokers, drinkers, you know, it's just doing an amazing work of God. And people are becoming Christians. But in that conventional church where God is moving, their services are very different. After 35 minutes, they have a break. And the break is literally a fag break, so that those who've become Christians can go out and have a cigarette or whatever else they need to do. 10 minutes later, they resume the service and the rest of it starts. When God moves, the conventional is under challenge. So the Sabbath, a bit of background. In Exodus 20, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt in the miraculous deliverance across the Red Sea, over 2 million people, God called Moses up to Mount Sinai and gave him the Ten Commandments to guide and to govern the people. It was transformative, and the reason was, for 400 years, they'd been immersed in Egyptian culture, Egyptian idolatry, Egyptian worship, multiple gods, and therefore their background was one that was locked into an idolatrous society. And therefore God, by giving the Ten Commandments to Moses, re-established a basis of behaviour and legal systems in 300 words. It's amazing that so many legal systems in the world follow the 10 principles of the commandments that were there. And there's in that short portfolio, there's a comprehensive protection of people, property, family and society. It is brilliant. And when he set the framework, God was doing a new thing. Isaiah 43, it says, God, he said, he's doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? And here in Winchcombe and Encounter Winchcombe, we are seeing a new work of God. We're seeing a refreshing, an anointing, an expansion and a renewal as God is working here. But the fourth commandment was very specific. It just said this: 6 days you can labour and work. The seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, or in it you shall not do any work. And the reason was quite simple. That go back to Genesis 1, 2, 3, it said, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, but on the seventh day he rested. Was he tired? Of course not. He was God. But he rested to give the example and the principle of restoration and renewal on the seventh day. What started as an earth that was without form and void, in Genesis 2 it says, as the Spirit hovered over the waters, so creation started, and God began to re-establish the principles and the world that we now live in. And then he rested. And the observation of the Ten Commandments went on for hundreds and hundreds of years throughout the Old Testament. And then in that interim period between the end of Malachi and the start of the birth of Christ in Luke 1 and 2, in that 400 period, that 400 year period, a whole catalogue of creation of rules and regulations was established. Hours and hours and years of work went into defining what is work, what is right, what is wrong, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And so you eventually got the Mishnah, which was 200 pages of closely typed rules and regulations that the Jewish people were expected to live under. Nobody could live under it. The Pharisees loved it, and the people were in constant fear of breaking one of the many rules. It was full of words. Some of you will be on LinkedIn. Some of you may have seen this. I saw this just a few weeks ago on LinkedIn, and it was called, it was a translation of conventional things into what was called LinkedIn speak. The Pharisees would have loved these. Just have a look at these two and see what you think. Number one goes in terms of the non-human creative, facilitating an off-site wellness excursion. And then the second one is this: I'm thrilled to announce I'm starting a new chapter. I've been given a unique opportunity to step back and reflect on my professional journey from a high security environment. What do you think that means? Here's the interpretation. The first one was, I'm taking the dog for a walk. And the second one was quite simply, I've just been arrested for fraud. It's easy to get locked into words rather than the spirit that sits behind them. Jesus came to break the mold, to reinterpret the rules and the Sabbath. In a world that was far, a Jewish world that was far away from what God intended, his purpose was to bring back the whole freedom that it was intended. And the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of this church is to bring us into an increasing sense of freedom before God. If you've ever been found, you've been bound up by the rules of a denomination or a intention or whatever else it is, the purpose of our meeting together is to bring freedom into our lives and into our experience, and to pray over each other the very freedom of God. So how did Jesus reinterpret the Sabbath and bring freedom? We've talked about the threshing of the corn. He challenged the conventional. The conventional wisdom is so often one that is contrary to what God is intended to do. I was thinking about revival. We often think revival takes place on huge campaigns, the Billy Graham type activity, the DTI, the Limitless. That's where revival takes place. When you look at it, so many revivals started in small villages. Lewis, Asprey, Pensacola, the Welsh revival, so much of it started in small areas because the people began to pray. And one of the books on revival I read quite recently, there was a research carried out, and they said the single most crucial feature that affected the revival of God, it was that the people got together to pray. If you've never been to Firefall, come to Firefall, where we can pray the very presence of God into this area, into this region, maybe even into the nation. Healing the Sabbath, the man on the Sabbath day, healing the man with the shriveled hand. He couldn't work. And yet, the Pharisees had such a blinkered view of the rules. Jesus broke through when he said, stretch out your hand. It's amazing. John 5. The man by the pool in Bethesda. He'd been there 37 years. And Jesus said to him, and it was a Sabbath day, he said to him, do you want to be healed? And the man, it's quite interesting, he gave lots of excuses or lots of reasons why he hadn't been healed. And he failed to answer the question. And in the end, Jesus said to the man, stand up, pick up your sleeping bag and walk. And immediately he stood up, he was healed. But this is the bit that got me: rolled up his bedroll, and the very thing he relied on for his income, for his transport, for everything. This bedroll was his whole. It was his whole stability. It was his area. It was his basis of life. Roll it up. Take it with you. There's times we need to roll up that which we rely on. Our reliance is transferred into the presence of God from what we currently think is our stability in our environment. You know, a few weeks ago, Mark was talking about the woman by the well in John 4. And he said that woman left the water pots behind and went to the village to tell them, here's a man who told me everything I ever did. And because of that testimony, that village became transformed. Jesus brought relationships into focus rather than rules. People were more important than principle. Hearts were much more important than mind. And he changed the very atmosphere of God's anointing. Michael Bjorknert was the chief exec of Privat Bank. It was the largest bank in Ukraine, and it served roughly 70% or three quarters of the population, with more than 18 million retail customers and about a million business customers. He was a serious banking professional, and he moved to Ukraine in early 2025, 3 years after the war had started following the invasion of Russia. One day, an army veteran came into one of their branches, 20 years old. He was a quadriplegic amputee. He'd lost both arms and both legs and was pushed by a nurse on a wheelchair. But now that his wartime service was finished, he wanted to re-engage with the bank. But the bank had an identity procedure as part of money laundering that in order to re-engage, the person coming into the bank had to hold their identity card next to their face so that the bank would identify the person and verify it. But he wasn't allowed to, nobody else was allowed to hold it according to the rules. So in accordance with those regulations, he was turned away. And the press got hold of it, the radio got hold of it, and they went absolutely ape. And of course it landed on Michael Bjorknert's desk as the chief exec. He had no option to go and see him. Admitted, he said in his writing, he said, I had no idea how do you greet a man with no arms and no legs? So he went to see him in where he lived, and he was accompanied by a translator. And Bjorknert said, his reports, he said, when he met the young man, he was very tearful as the young guy read out to him the various incredibly moving poems that he'd composed since he got his injuries. And after listening for a while, he just stood there, deeply moved. And at the end he said, I'm so sorry. I don't know how to thank you. He said, but can I put my hand on your chest and listen to your heart? And you know, what a representation that is of what Jesus wants to do with us today. You may have been hurt by the rules. You may have been affected by the regulations. You may have been found a distortion because of the unwritten or written elements that so often accompany church life. And the word of Jesus this morning is quite simply, let me put my hand on your chest and listen to your heart. We're going to pray later that God will just bring freedom and release to you if you've ever found that affecting your life and your experience. Three suggestions and I close and we move forward into God's anointing. Firstly, don't let the rules of expectation, written or unwritten, limit your freedom in Christ. As we move into a new dimension of heartfelt freedom in Jesus, we will be challenged. What will people think? If I dance, if I pray out loud, if I kneel, if I lie on the floor, if I speak in tongues, if I kneel, don't worry, all of that happens in Firefall. But how will I feel? How will it? And I hear the Lord saying in Psalm 32, he says this. David's writing, I hear the Lord saying, I'll stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway to life. Don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've never been before. Just come with me. Don't let the rules of expectation govern your behaviour. Allow that freedom of God to set in motion something that maybe is new and you've never experienced it before. Secondly, don't let an experience turn into a rule or a pattern. God has an amazing way of constantly doing new things. The Welsh Revival started in 1904, primarily through a prayer meeting, and then a meeting where a young girl of 14 years old, said this. She said, I just trust the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. And a hymn that has been sung thousands of times since then, here is love vast as the ocean, just hit those communities, hit those mining communities, those tough guys who worked under in dusty environments, often going down with pneumocosis. The whole area was transformed because of a testimony, because of prayer, and the impact of that amazing hymn. But we can't reproduce that. We've always got to be on the alert for what is God doing now in our environment in a new way. A good friend of ours, Brenda, was desperately seeking a work of the Holy Spirit. And she was driving along one day. She had a Morris Minor Traveller. She was driving along one day a few years ago. And as she's driving along, she suddenly senses the presence of God and tears are pouring down her face. So she found a lay-by very quickly, went into that lay-by and just experienced the very presence of God, just filling her, renewing her and establishing a work of the Holy Spirit in our life. God's doing in a new way. I'm not saying rent a woody and go and sit in a lay-by. What I am saying is let's be open to what God is doing now and don't let an experience turn into a pattern. Finally, start each day with a new expectation of what God can do. Everything, anything is possible with God. Psalm 5:2, every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. Living with the expectation that the Lordship of Christ will govern. Galatians 5. At last we have freedom. Christ has set us free. Great hymn a while ago, a long time ago actually. Jesus, we celebrate your victory. But the verse number one, the first verse says this. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. No longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. The Jewish people had been subject to the slavery of rules and regulations and what was considered to be the professional view of the Sabbath. Jesus cut across it. He brought freedom. He brought release. He brought a new expectation of what he could do in their lives. And that's where we are this morning. As we worship together, as we pray together, as we trust together, as we seek the presence and the outworking of the Holy Spirit, here in this place, we are seeking to allow God to move in his new way, to bring us all into an increased sense of freedom. What Sabbath? It's a time for freedom. Thank you for being with us this morning. We've really appreciated your presence. And I just want to pray the very freedom of God over you this morning. Father, I just want to pray your anointing. I pray that where there's been residual hurts, where there's been, Lord, a challenge of life because of what could have been, the rules, the regulations, the formal nature of our background, we want to break through that. And I just pray release in the Holy Spirit of the living God. We're praying release and freedom and a greater sense of anointing as you move into that enhanced presence of God. Father, will you renew us in you? Will you increasingly allow us to bathe in your presence? And as the Spirit moved over the waters in Genesis 1, will you just allow the move of your Spirit to just go over our lives and to just flow over our lives? Amen. Thank you again. We look forward to seeing you next week as one of our other members will be sharing with you as we continue in this Gospel of Mark. Bless you.